1450 AM, WKXL, 103.9 FM in the Concord area, 101.9 FM, our brand new signal in Manchester. It is Kale & Company, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, located at 124 Store Street in Concord. You can call them right now, make an appointment, 603-225-7988. And folks, we're going to have some fun today. We have some in-studio guests here at WKXL. Joining me today on Kale & Company are John Vitale, a.k.a. Fabulous Johnny Vegas, and Gardner Bud Browning. And gentlemen, welcome to Kale & Company. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Well, it is my pleasure. And recently, Bud opened New Hampshire's only professional wrestling school, the Next Gen Pro Wrestling Center in Manchester. Bud, congratulations on that. When did you open it?
Thank you very much. I opened early September.
Yeah, and how's it been going?
Oh, it's exceeded my expectations entirely.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. We have about 15 paying students, men, women, all varying skill levels, and it's been wild. We've had a lot of seminars. We've had different events. The students go to live wrestling shows. So we are always doing something, and very exciting.
Now, let me say that both of you are seasoned professional wrestlers.
That doesn't mean old.
No, it does not mean old. It means seasoned. It means veterans of the ring.
Yes.
So, John Vitale, Johnny Vegas, fabulous Johnny Vegas, recently inducted into a Hall of Fame.
Well, I not recently. It was probably 10 years
ago. Was that long ago?
Yeah,
oh, okay. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. New England Pro Wrestling, New England Hall of Fame, whatever. New England Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yeah. And very kind. They were very kind to ask me, so that was very, very cool. So
how did you get started in wrestling, John?
So I started because I wanted to be a ring announcer or a play-by-play guy or an interview guy, and I started doing that way back when in the early 1990, I think. And I worked for a guy, and he kind of either ran out of money, whatever, and then one thing led to another, and I made a lot of friends, and one of my friends was training. And I said, well, I'll come up and watch and see what's going on. And at the time, I was kind of doing a little managing in wrestling.
Yeah.
So that was very, very fun. And then I started getting in the ring. And they said, you know, you'd be better inside the ring than outside. So I started training and never looked back after that. So that was 1993 I started training.
93.
And turned pro, as they say, in 1994. And that's pretty cool. That's been my story.
So, and Bud, a little background on your professional wrestling career.
Yes, sir. I started training in 2001, graduated high school in 2000, and then right after that went right to pro wrestling school. Trained a couple different wrestling schools, one in Nashua and then in Manchester with Steve Bradley. And shortly after that, started working for Steve Bradley's Wrestling Federation of America. And he asked me, Bud, how would you like to be a vampire? So ever since then, I've been playing a gothic vampire in the wrestling ring, one half of tag team Nightbreed.
Nightbreed. And I understand that you've achieved some pretty good success.
Well, never made it anywhere big, but I've had a lot of fun locally, worked for quite a few different local promotions and just having so much fun up here in the Northeast.
Yeah. And you're from this area originally?
Yes, sir. Manchester.
From the Queen City.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have your great facility, the Next Gen Pro Wrestling Center. And where is it located?
It's located 190 Elm Street, right in the heart of Manchester, right off the highway, right across from Spider Bite, not too far from the big arena.
Nice. The SNHU Arena in downtown Manchester. And so now, where are the shows that that you guys participated in? And I know, Bud, you're still active. Where do they take place?
Right. They take place for a company called Atlantic Pro Wrestling, APW. I have a good partnership going with them where my students at Next Gen Wrestling Center can become part of their crew, you know, helping out with security and doing the ring and hopefully earn a spot when they're ready to perform on that show.
And get a feel for it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That is great. So, and because I don't think a lot of people are familiar with the local circuits. Everybody knows, you know, the WWE, of course, but well, maybe not everybody, but most people do. And but there are some local circuits as well.
Oh, it's a whole bunch.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We get shows anywhere from Maine all the way down Connecticut, Rhode Island, and you can go further too. Some guys travel to New York or Virginia, New Jersey, whatever. So there's a lot around depending on how much you want to travel, how far you want to drive, because most of it is driving.
Yeah.
But most of the time, APW is great because it's pretty local. It's right out of Newburyport. But again, there are plenty of others around that there's a lot of work around. So we're trying to get these guys motivated and educated and taught the right way so that they can go to any promotion and represent themselves well.
Yeah. So what is the difference between the local circuits and the WWE? I mean, other than all the glitz and glitter, about $1 billion. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, the premise is the same. We all kind of wrestle the same way. It is the glitz and the glamour and the travel and the big money that these guys have. They have huge bankrolls. All the independent guys are just independent people that are trying to do nice local shows. You know, they're not going to draw 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people. You know, if they draw a couple hundred, that's great. So it's on a small level, but it's very exciting. It's a lot of these shows are very family orientated, which is great. And, you know, you can bring your kids and you don't have to worry about blood or swearing or nudity or anything like that. And you can feel comfortable bringing your kids to a family-friendly show.
And you'll see all the moves that you will in the WWE on these local circuits, like the one you were just talking about. But I think everybody kind of realizes that the results of these matches are predetermined.
What are you saying? I don't know what that means.
No.
Predetermined. I don't know what that. Do you know the outcome of the movie? No. What is he saying? You know the outcome of the baseball game? No. We'll just skip that part.
Okay. We'll edit that. Take that part out of it. But
we work very hard at what we do.
Yes, you do.
It's not as easy as it looks.
It doesn't look easy. It doesn't look easy to me. Or to many people, because it is rough. I mean, you guys do take a pounding in that ring.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are people that punch and kick very hard, and you take it and you give it.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time that, you know, they think that wrestling is, which I call the F word, which is fake.
Yeah.
I said it's not fake. The fake part is maybe I'm not wrestling a guy that I hate. Maybe it's my friend, but we're still going to go at it. But it's very physical.
Yeah.
It's we don't work off a trampoline, you know. We are hitting each other. There's contact, and it's that part is real. The fake part is that I don't probably hate my opponent.
Yeah, you still have the chairs involved, right? And going Sometimes. Through tables and mm-hmm. all that sort of thing that you'd see at WWE events. But this is on a local basis and maybe closer to home and a little bit less expensive too. So. I want to bring some light to some of the local wrestling circuits as well. But are you surprised that some of the kinds of people that you get enrolling in your school, do they come from all walks of life?
They sure do. A lot of different ages, and they have their own reasons too, their own reasons for getting into it. Some people want to have something fun to do, a nice hobby. Some people have big goals, big dreams, you know. But whatever their reasons, we let them have those reasons, you know. But I am very surprised sometimes. I'm more surprised at the people that send me messages or call me or drop me emails because they can be a little strange or you don't quite know who they are or, you know, and then all of a sudden they'll disappear and stuff like that.
So what's the youngest student you have at the school?
I want to say female, 19 years old.
19, okay. So how many females do you have or have you had at the
now,
school?
Right now we have three female students.
Yeah. Now, do they have aspirations perhaps of, going on and joining, regional circuit or, you know, maybe some aspirations of the WWE?
Yes, they definitely have aspirations to perform locally and where they go from there. It's up to them.
So this isn't, folks, it's not a fitness class, right? It's not a fitness class. No, this is a wrestling school.
Some people do go for a workout, too, to learn the sport. And some have, don't have the aspirations of something grand or something big. But that's okay, too. Some might just want to be a wrestler. Some might just want to work locally. But we would never stop them from looking at bigger and better things. And we've had people come through that, luckily, we've had our hand in training some of these people that have gone on to bigger and better things. So it's very, very rewarding.
And John, you're part of the staff at the school?
I guess I am, but let's be calm. The door is not locked when I get there, so that's good. So we have training on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays from 4 to 7.
Yeah.
I train with Mike Hollow, who's a former WWE guy, on Tuesdays with Bud also. Bud is there all the time, 4 to 7. Thursdays, I'm accompanied by Scott Reed, who's a local professional wrestler as well, from 4 to 7. Then Saturdays is Bud and whoever else is there, and it's a great thing we got going on. Well, very exciting. Yeah, come on down.
It is very exciting. Now, we found out, you know, you both have been in the ring for a long time, but there's another side of Bud that yes. we haven't explored as yet. And you are a novelist. You have written a number of books.
Yes, sir. Writing commercial fiction is my first love. You know, storytelling, writing. It's what I've always loved to do. As a kid growing up, I had to tell stories to my younger brother, younger sister, a lot to entertain them. And it's just something that helped us kind of get through childhood, you know. Fiction. It's my absolute passion. And I pursued that heavily out of high school. And in 2005, I went professional with it. I got my first taste of publication with a small press and just kept writing up a storm, you know, trying to make the next book better than the last. And then I kind of started to outgrow my small publisher, and I took a shot at New York City. And I applied for to be accepted to one of the largest literary conferences in the world.
Wow.
They only hold it 4 times a year, and they only allow 65 writers from all over the world. I got accepted, and I went down there alone and pitched my new manuscript to major publishing house executives, acquisitions editors, and they all asked for it, and I was the only writer out of 65 that they asked for the manuscript. So it was a thrill.
Wow, that is really something.
Yeah, that led to the managing editor of that whole organization kind of taking me under his wing, and he became, you know, my editor and my publisher, and it just kept rolling, kept going from there. So here we are, you know, 2021. I've got 5 books published, and I received a New Hampshire Literary Award for one of my novels. So with this wrestling business, I'm trying to combine my love of storytelling and my love of professional wrestling and put it into something where we can offer that creative end, you know, and character development as well.
Wow. I mean, that is an incredible story. 5 novels already published.
Yes, sir.
Are you working on number 6 now?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. It's going this spring off to editing.
Is it a series, or are they all individual unto themselves?
They're all individual, yeah, and they all kind of touch different genres and you know, age groups. I've got some young adult stories. I've got a historical children's fantasy. I've got one piece of vampire fiction, something dark, like a dark romance.
I guess that makes sense, right?
a high seas adventure, and now recently I've started to write like science thrillers. So it's kind of cool.
Wow. That really spans the globe right there. You know, you touch all the bases. For sure. And congratulations on your New Hampshire Literary Award. That is really something. So when did the love of writing begin?
Childhood.
Yeah.
Know, just childhood, just writing stories. I think I wrote my first short story. It was in, I want to say, probably the 4th grade. And it was kind of cool, you know, just some fun. And then it just took off from there, all through high school, writing stories.
Really?
I had to write my first writing class was in high school, and it was A's across the board. And I would just be writing these things down and tear them out of the notebook, hand it in all messy, and it would get the highest mark in the class. So it was just something I was always really good at, you know, something that just kind of came, you know, naturally.
Yeah. But, yeah. Now, where'd you go to high school?
Memorial.
At Memorial, yeah. You probably weren't there when my friend Frank Sullivan was there, but.
I do know him.
Yeah, you do.
He was there.
He was.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, he was
great. I thought you might have been too young to have Frank, but yeah.
I caught him at the tail end.
Yeah, Frank and I did many games together over the years, many play-by-play events, football, basketball,
what
hockey, baseball.
He had. Fantastic
Frank,
voice.
Frank was really something, and we miss him for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, so did you have him for class?
No, he was in and out,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And then he was also a friend of my family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, so it was really, my father was really close to him as well.
That's unbelievable. Small world.
Small world.
Yeah, and I know another relative of yours, so... So, John, you got a call at one point in your career from the WWE, at least one point in your career.
I did. The school that I was previously teaching at, they had a little connection with WWE, and they would come to town, and they were coming into Boston, and they needed a somebody to play the part of John Cena's Little League coach. So in November of 2011, I got the call in. They called me. They said, would you like to do it? I'm like, absolutely. So I went in for the day for Monday Night Raw, and it was really quite a thrill. They were very, very nice, very welcoming. They didn't treat you like an outsider. And a couple of the other people that were part of the school went in, and they either played parts of security or whatever, but I actually had an on-screen role, a speaking role, which was great, and I guess it's still up on YouTube or whatever.
Got to be somewhere,
so,
right? Yeah.
It's called John Cena, This Is Your Life. So it's very, very exciting.
I am going to look that up as soon as I get home.
Please do. Yeah, John Cena, This Is Your Life. And I was in the first
fabulous
segment,
Johnny Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was called Will Gray was my name, though, because
Will
I was
Gray.
His coach, Will Gray.
Will Gray.
Yeah, very exciting, very exciting.
So, and a lot of people probably don't know John Vitale. Were you the last person to ever call a horse race in New Hampshire?
I was, yeah. Because I was at Rockingham Park,
yeah.
The track announcer from 1994 to our last race of 2009, which is the last live race,
yeah.
And then we simulcast till we closed in 2016. But yeah, I was the last one there, which was pretty cool. Well, good and bad, I guess. We do all miss it.
Yeah.
A lot of people still come up to me and talk to me about racing or the racetrack or whatever, and you know, they've redeveloped the land, so it's never coming back, unfortunately, or else I'd still be working there,
right.
Probably.
Yeah. I every time I pass exit one, yes, or drive by on 28, I always get a tinge of sadness.
It is. Yeah. A lot of people are sad about it, and some have, ill feelings towards the guy that's developing it, but Joe Farrow is developing, and he's really a good guy, and they shouldn't really hold him responsible.
No.
The place was available, and, you know, he bought it and is making it something special that we don't have around here, so I don't want to say anything bad.
He's
a good guy. So.
No, I mean, he's developing it, and that's a terrific thing.
It is.
But we know what might have been there.
We all know what might have been. What should have been.
Yeah,
right.
What should have been is probably the best way to put it. And I think many people know what we're alluding to, but could be a racetrack there right now as well as a casino.
Correct.
For sure.
But it didn't happen.
It didn't.
And we
moved
on our separate ways.
Well,
so.
I'm glad they're developing it, and they have a good guy to do it. And, it wasn't going to happen, I guess. It wasn't in the cards.
And we are working on a little, an area that's going to be a tribute to Rockingham Park.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It's we're still working on it because there's probably seven phases going on there. I think they're in phase three right now. So we meet every so often, and Joe contacted me and said, hey, can you help me out? I want to do a little tribute thing. So I put together a little team, and we got a good thing going. So we're going to do a little something for Rockingham.
Oh, that's good to know. I did not know that until this very moment.
Maybe it's a secret, but it's out now.
So. Now you're sharing it with the world here on WKXL.
The world!
Yeah. So,
all right.
let me ask you this. If someone walks in, says they want to take your class and perhaps be a professional wrestler, what's the first thing you tell them?
Dress comfortably.
Well, first I tell them, thank you. Thanks for coming to see us. You know, they're putting their trust in us and opening themselves up. So I thank them. And then I start asking them, what are their goals? What are their ideas? What led them to want to do something like this? So we have a little bit of a conversation, and then check out the ring, check out the school, meet their, the other students. I like to have them watch, and make sure that it's for them.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sure.
Just kind of keep it laid back and comfortable. That's the big thing for me, is making people feel comfortable when they're in there.
Yeah.
And we invite people that if they're interested and they want to just check it out, Bud is more than happy to have them come by any, Tuesday or Thursday or Saturday or whatever. You want to check it out and say, hey, or somebody might know, you might want to check it out for somebody else. Absolutely. We're always open to have guests come by.
Now, this is the only wrestling school in New Hampshire, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. I know years and years ago, the great Killer Kowalski had one in Salem, Massachusetts, and taught a lot of people their skills there.
Yeah, and Jeff Costa, a.k.a. Lobster Man, had one. I trained with him in Nashua.
Yeah.
And Steve Bradley had his school.
Yeah. Sonny Goodspeed and Bob Evans ran one about 20
Tech,
years
right?
ago in Nashua as well.
Yeah.
So they kind of come and go.
But this one is here to stay.
This one's here to stay.
Here to stay. Yes. The Next Gen Pro Wrestling Center in Manchester. And we have Bud Browning here, Gardner Bud Browning. Wrestler / author, or is it author / wrestler?
It works either way.
Okay. And John Vitale, not only the former track announcer at Rockingham Park, but also the public address voice for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats for many years.
Yep. Absolutely. And that was always fun, too.
And our voices have been mistaken for each other from time to time.
We sound alike. So you got me something to read, I'll read it. I'll sound just like you.
We have to take a break, but we have John and Bud with us. They will stay with us here at 1450 AM WKXL, 103.9 on the FM dial in the Concord area, and our new signal 101.9 in Manchester. Kale and Company, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, 124 Storrs Street in Concord, weedfamilyautomotive.com. Welcome back. It's Kale and Company at 1450 AM, WKXL, 103.9 FM in the Concord area, 101.9 in the Manchester area, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, 124 Storrs Street in Concord. You can make an appointment right now at 603-225-7988. We're here today with John Vitale, a.k.a. Fabulous Johnny Vegas, and gardener Bud Browning. Recently, Bud opened New Hampshire's only pro wrestling school, the Next Gen Pro Wrestling Center in Manchester. So, Bud, I am assuming, and I don't know if it's true or not, but were you a big wrestling fan growing up?
Yes, and I still am.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it was number one thing for me growing up as a kid to watch on TV, and that's pretty much all I watch on TV now.
Is it? Yeah. It's all it's worth watching anyway, right?
And there's a lot on now. When I was a fan as a kid, I mean, it was, you had to watch, I think it was like Saturday nights at 1 o'clock in the morning, Channel 9 would run All Star Wrestling.
Yeah.
Or something to that effect. It was on Channel 56 or something like that. It was not on regularly.
Right.
So now it hit mainstream, and now it's really great. It's still, you know, I still watch back some of the old stuff, you know, from the 70s and early 80s that really had an impact of
absolutely
in my life. So.
I used to go to the Garden all the time.
Well, you had to at that time because there was not a lot of television coverage, so you had to go.
Yeah.
They come into Boston. I used to tell my father, they come to Boston, take me. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
We get a couple of us together, and we'd go in and make a night of it. You know,
sure. Oh,
you know,
it was
great. I was like, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, and it was great.
Yeah, same fantastic thing. Same with me. I used to go in there. I know Abe Ford was the promoter of the events in Boston, and go in and see Bruno Sammartino and
Duke
Professor
of Dorchester,
Tanaka.
Pete Daugherty.
Yes, Pete Daugherty, of course.
Chief J. Strongbow.
Did Pete Daugherty ever win at the Garden? I don't know.
I don't think he ever won, period. I don't know.
Or anywhere, for that matter, yeah. Baron Mikel Cicluna, you know, the foreign objects hidden in the trunks.
What?
What? Yeah.
What's he talking about?
But it was a lot of fun, and, you know, and I go back, and you're right. I used to, I lived in Melrose, which is, you know, a little bit north of Boston, and I couldn't get Channel 9at WMUR at the time. We didn't have cable or anything like that. So I had to go and watch Saturday afternoons at my grandparents' house in Wilmington, which was a little closer to New Hampshire than Melrose. Not much, a little, and it made all the difference. They got it.
Yeah.
So we had to be there like every Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock to see wrestling.
Yeah,
it was quite
a thing. And now that through the WWE has a partnership with Peacock Network or whatever, they're showing those old All-Star Wrestling shows.
Yeah.
I'm watching them now, and I'm like, oh, my God, I watched those when I was a kid.
Right?
How old am I?
Yeah.
It's
like,
whoa.
But you still remember those matches.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And remember the stars of those days.
One of my favorites was Chief J. Strongbow, and I'm watching him. And it just so happens that when I was inducted into the New England Hall of Fame, he was inducted the same class as me. So when I saw him, I'm like,
wow.
Oh my God, I can't believe this. The kid, a guy I idolized growing up, and we happened to be, you know, inducted together, and it was very touching.
That is really, was he a Boston guy?
I
know he wrestled in Boston, but
you know, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
he may have been kind of local.
Yeah.
To this area.
Yeah.
But.
I'm not sure
from
exactly.
Bahusta, Oklahoma.
I'm not sure what reservation he was from, but
from Oklahoma,
right,
they said.
Right,
Oklahoma.
That's it. Right. But Bud, you must have memories. Not so much, you know, in the old black and white days. But
I'm not black and white either.
What?
Mine were in color.
Okay,
Bud.
Yeah. No, I grew up watching the early, you know, the Hulk Hogan era.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
WWF.
Yeah,
and it was again, it was a lot of storytelling and.
Yeah.
Larger than life characters. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
Just really stuff that you can immerse yourself in. And it's just so enchanting to a little kid. And
Now, we don't want to say, you know, anything is scripted, but I think, you know, if it ever was, you would be the guy to do it, bud, right?
If it ever was. Sure, if it ever was. Maybe we.
If it ever was. Maybe. In another world, but yeah.
I don't like to really say script. We'll say outlined or something. I don't know. But.
You know, one of the nice parts about, you know, my life in writing and storytelling is being able to help my students come up with their own unique personalities and character concepts that they can bring to life in the wrestling ring.
Right.
You know, and what that means to look inside yourself and find that character that may already be there and you don't even know it, and tap into that and bring it out.
A lot of them, they'll ask, oh, you know, what can I be for a character? I go, no, what do you want to be? It's not for us to say. The older time, there was sometimes where a promoter would say, hey, I need an Indian, or I need a gangster, or I need this or that. And they would kind of guide you that way. But really, they want you to make up your own, because you have to pick a character that you're going to enjoy and that you'll like to come out as that person. I mean, if you you don't want to be a hillbilly and you're saddled with that, I mean, you're not going to enjoy it. So that's how most of us did our own kind of gimmicks, our own type of thing.
Yeah.
My came from, because I always liked Las Vegas. I've been to Las Vegas 25 times. That was my thing. So when I was training, I wanted to be Mr. Fabulous. That's what I aimed for, because it was from the old Blues Brothers movie.
Yeah, right.
He was the trumpet player, Mr. Fabulous. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So when I was training under Jeff Costa, he said, oh, you like Vegas so much. Why don't you do something with Vegas? Why don't you be Johnny Vegas? I'm like, oh, I got it. And then it hit me, because you go to Las Vegas, as soon as you hit the strip, there's a big sign that says, welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas. Yeah. I said, I'm going to be Fabulous Johnny Vegas. And that's me.
You go.
And then you'll always like being a vampire, so.
Yeah, well. No, I mean, then again, that goes back to my love of literature.
Yeah.
You know, I love classic literature. So Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we'll stop there, but Bram Stoker's Dracula is a fantastic literary masterpiece, and I've always loved that type of dark and gothic fiction. So when it was asked of me, hey, how about a vampire? It was like, oh, okay, I think I can do this, you know?
Yeah.
Tap into something.
Well, that's the thing, because if they said to you, no, we need somebody that's a beach bum or something like that, right, it's like, I'm not going to enjoy that.
No.
So that's what we try and do when we mold characters, to help them with characters. You know, we do a lot of, you know, basic and foundation and working how to become a wrestler, and then we work on character development. There's a whole big ball that we encompass.
Sure.
And it's a fun journey. It's not a 2-week journey. It doesn't take 2 weeks. It takes a long time to do this. In fact, I say I always say you never graduate from the school. There's no cap and gown. There's no diploma, because you can always learn. I mean, me 22 years later, I'm still learning. I don't know how many years it is. I don't know, 27, whatever it is. I'm still learning. There's still stuff to learn all the time.
So yeah.
We learn never from each other too. I mean, I'll be on the out at ringside at the wrestling center, and I'll watch Johnny with the guys, training and teaching.
Yeah.
And I'm just blown away at some of the things. And then, of course, with Coach Mike Hollow, you watch him. And I'm just blown away by the knowledge that these guys have. So I'm always learning, even at the wrestling center,
Yeah, and I saw the piece that Chronicle did on your school. And it was a terrific piece.
Oh, thank you.
And and Mike was there. And as you said, he's been in the WWE ring. And one of the things he talked about when he was interviewed for the piece was that you have to make, the star, in some cases, look good.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, he always refers to himself as enhancement talent.
Yes.
You know, he's either enhanced the other person. Yeah. Actually, that's all our jobs. We're there to make each other look good.
Right.
And if we do that consistently, we're both going to look great. And that's a job of, if you go to a movie and the lead actor is great, but the supporting actors aren't, you're like, oh, it was okay, or vice versa. But here we're trying to be enhancement for each other all the time. So that's what makes wrestling so cool, because it's like live stage, and there's no second takes. It's there, and that's why we love it.
No, absolutely. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And you've got to be a character, as you pointed out, that you want to play. And, of course, the costumes are another big part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are, always very intriguing.
You can spend $40, you can spend $400, you can spend $4,000.
Yeah.
It's all up to you. Some of the newer students, we tell them, don't go crazy. Just buy something comfortable for now. And then you can, and there's some really great places around economical that people can design stuff. They'll help you design, or if you come with a design, they'll help you.
Yeah.
And some of these kids have some great, great ideas, very flashy, colorful things. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll bet that it is. And, that is all part of it, all part of the show, right?
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, it's sports entertainment, I guess, is what we like
True.
To call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
really is that, you know, that we try to stress entertainment, because people are coming to the shows, they want to be entertained. It's not like, you know, going to the movies, you just sit there and don't say anything. We want feedback from the crowd, and they want to be invited into the matches, and they want to be part of it. I mean, you don't want to go there and sit on your hands, and we don't want people to sit on their hands. We want comments back and forth, and we want them to enjoy this, and that's how we continue to go on, and hopefully people come back time and time again.
Oh, yeah. So what about injuries? Have you guys, either one of you guys, ever been seriously injured?
Well, I've been fortunate where I have never had to go to the hospital. You know, I've had my share of bumps, bruises. So I've been very lucky in that way. I don't know, Johnny, what about you?
I'm the same way. I've been very lucky, too. No, thank God, no hospital stays or visits. Mostly it's more like, you know, bumps and bruises or jam my thumb, something like that, something easy. Nothing broken, thank God.
Wow, that's amazing.
Have we seen it? Sure, we've seen it. It's very physical. It happens. It happens everywhere. I mean, you could slip and fall at work or another job, but here it's more physical. Our number one job is safety, teaching how to do things safely, because you never ever want to hurt your opponent intentionally like that. You'd never want to do that, and we teach that and stress that.
So. And so much of it is the choreography of the whole thing. You know, it's like, you know, doing the choreography for a Broadway show, you know?
Pretty much, right. We try and just make sure we're on the same page, if I can, you know, do it that way. You know, you got to know what's going on so that there's no real surprise. You don't really want to be surprised and you can get hurt, you know? So even, you know, swinging a steel chair, people say, what chairs do you use? I go, it's a folding chair. It's a regular folding chair. These tables are regular. You know, I think you were in a match a couple of weeks ago. One of the opponents went through the table.
That's right.
And it's a table.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you want to tell you? It's a table.
It's a table. And you go
pick out the 8-foot banquet table. That's the table.
And it's got to hurt. It's got to hurt.
Oh, yeah. I've been hit by the chair, but I've never gone through a table.
You've never gone through a table.
But I've taken the chair, and that does sting.
Have you gone through a table, bud?
Yes, I have several times.
Several times.
I've taken my share of steel chairs to the head.
Wow.
Been slammed through tables. Yeah, absolutely. Cage matches. Yeah.
So it's not really something we teach at the school. That's something that really is a special thing. We really teach safety and, you know, how to fundamentally and really how to execute correctly, you know, so that people don't get hurt and everything looks good. You know, we want people to look good what they're doing and to execute them correctly so that nobody gets hurt and everybody knows what's going on. So safety is big importance.
Important for the wrestlers, because, you know, if they want to have a career or to be able to do this for any length of time, they've got to do it safely so they can learn to take care of themselves, so they can keep going to that next show and, you know, take that next booking. You know, they can't be getting hurt
right
and now they can't do anything for a month.
Right. So when there is a chair or a table involved or other outside paraphernalia, I would assume that you know about it ahead of time. Am I assuming correctly?
Not always.
I
think a couple of weeks back, I was in a match and the guys were just killing me. You know, I didn't know who was going to hit me next or where it was coming from. So
really,
not always.
So wow.
That's where training your training comes in. Where you have to know what to do in that situation to protect yourself.
Yeah.
In the wrestling ring, keep yourself safe.
Yeah, there was one match years ago that I was working with a good friend of mine, and I just went out and got a chair, and he saw it, and you know we made eye contact. And he knew. But the last time that I did it, he was swinging the chair this time. Yeah. I knew it was coming, but I won't take anything to the head. It has to be to the back.
Yeah.
Boy, it was ching. Yeah. Stung me pretty good. So. And it does, it hurt? Yes, it hurts.
Have you taken a chair to the head?
The very first time I was told backstage, you're going to get hit tonight with the chair. So I was supposed to be one hit. And then, you know, that happened. I was blasted in the side of the head with the chair. And I remember laying there in the wrestling ring looking up, and the lights are kind of spinning. And then I see these colorful boots coming to get me for our second one. I had no idea that second one was coming. And then it blasted even harder that time. So it was very unexpected.
And then his next book came out and it was great.
Yeah, right?
So how do you brace yourself for somebody jumping off the top rope?
Well, you got to come to the school and find out. Why don't you come down and join us? We can show you a couple of things like that. There are, I don't want to say secrets, but there are ways to do things, and we go over all the ways to properly do things. So again, so that we never want to see anybody get hurt. you know.
And, right. Yeah.
Nor do we want to hurt somebody. So yeah, we'll show you the correct way to do it.
Yeah, I'm sure you would.
The guy is, you know, 220 pounds coming off the top rope on you. You're gonna feel things
or more.
You know, this is contact.
Yeah. Oh, it is. There's no doubt about it. And I'm glad that you guys have never been seriously injured.
We're grateful, too.
No, I'm sure you are. No major injuries, no severe cuts or anything like that.
I've had to tape things up. I've had, you know, bleeders. I've had a concussion or two. But, like I said, nothing where I've had to go to the hospital or where I couldn't go to the day job, you know, that type of thing.
Mostly I'll get up the next morning, I'll get out of bed, and I'll go, And that means, driving home, you get stiff in the car.
Yeah.
You get out of the car, and my back tightens up. So.
Yeah.
But, it just goes away.
John Vitale is with us, fabulous Johnny Vegas, and gardener Bud Browning, who recently opened New Hampshire's only professional wrestling school. It's located on Elm Street in Manchester, the Next Gen Pro Wrestling Center in Manchester. And you're listening to Kale and Company right here on 1450 AM WKXL, 103.9 FM, 101.9 FM in the Manchester area, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord, weedfamilyautomotive.com. Welcome back. It's Kale and Company on 1450 AM WKXL, 103.9 FM, 101.9 FM in the Manchester area, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. You can call and make an appointment right now, 603-225-7988. Joined today by John Vitale, a.k.a. Fabulous Johnny Vegas, Wrestling Hall of Famer, and gardener Bud Browning, who recently opened New Hampshire's only professional wrestling school, the Next Gen Pro Wrestling Center in Manchester. So, Bud, what do people have to do to get involved? How do they get in touch with you, and how do they start?
Well, thank you for asking. First thing they can do is check out our new website we just launched at www.nextgenwrestling.com. And right there we've got all the info as far as who we are, what we're doing, our schedule, and some contact links. You can shoot us an email through that website. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a very, very active Facebook page, Next Gen Pro Wrestling Center. Just type that in. Very active. You can message us through there as well. Or you can always come down on a practice night. The door is always open. That is Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, 4 to 7. Come on in. Walk in. Check it out.
You can always... if you want to drop us an email, the email address that we're using now is
NXG Wrestling Center, NXG Wrestling Center at Gmail.
All right.
Just in case, you know, somebody says, hey, I want to check this out or do this or whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
Or, I mean, we would never not let anybody in if they wanted to come and visit. So,
yeah,
which is cool.
Well, I'll have to stop by one of these days and check it out. Not to get in the ring, but just to see what goes on. It should be,
we'll be there tomorrow night.
Would
tomorrow
be a lot of fun. Tomorrow
actually,
night.
This is... yes, right. It will be tomorrow.
And so who do you guys like to watch now? I mean, contemporary professional wrestlers. Who do you guys like to watch?
Let's see here. I do enjoy watching the NXT, WWE's NXT program, mm-hmm. because it's a lot of up-and-coming guys.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing a lot of our own local wrestlers who are getting picked up there. So it's really fun to watch and support them. They're your friends. You know, you've shared the ring with them and you're so excited to see them on TV. So I really enjoy watching that, and it helps me stay dialed in with what's new, what's fresh, what's exciting, what are some character concepts that they're trying out, things like that.
Now, what about you, Bud, though? Do you have aspirations of going to the WWE someday? Would you think about that?
Well, no. I mean, I'm getting older now, and I had opportunities in the past. I had some chances to go, and nope. So I don't have any aspirations to go and do that. My whole thing is to help others.
John, who do you like to watch?
So I agree with Bud watching NXT. I had a hand in helping a local guy who's now the North American champion, Carmelo Hayes. And it's quite cool just to watch somebody that you helped from day one. And now he's holding a championship for a major company in this country, in this world. And just to, stay in contact and to, he's very, very humble, which is nice. And others, too. We have other guys that have made it through either coming up through an area school that we helped train, and it's very flattering that they still remember and that they're doing so well. So NXT is putting out a pretty good product, and it's nice to watch these guys excel.
Yeah.
We knew they would.
Yeah, and quite a few WWE wrestlers have come from the Granite State. Mm-hmm. I think Triple H from sure. From New Hampshire. And
Mike Hollow, who's one of our trainers, helped in with Triple H too. Way back when Killer Kowalski had his school.
Yeah.
And one of the trainers that's down for WWE also went through his school. Matt Bloom went through the Killer Kowalski school. He's down there. And, you know, guys like I said, Carmelo Hayes and T-Bar, who's in WWE, and Tommaso Ciampa. All these guys were local guys that came through here some way or another we had a hand in. And they're doing great. So it's really nice to follow them.
I'm sure you've met John anyway, Killer Kowalski.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I didn't, unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of time with him, you know, because by the time I joined that school when it was bought by somebody else, he was already retired.
Yeah.
And this man was a big man, huge, huge hands. I wish Mike Hollow was here because Mike spent a lot of time with him and just a gentle giant, but a tough giant and just a really a big man with huge hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And how about you, Bud? Have you met some of these guys, that some of these big stars?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've met a lot of them. My day job, I work over at the airport, and I've seen a lot of wrestling stars coming through as they're traveling.
Oh, yeah.
And I've had a chance to say hello, and it's always fun.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Just, you know, and at our school, I say our school, Bud school, I say our because whatever. We have different people come by every so often. We just had... I guess I'll say T-Bar from WWE stopped by and trained with some of the guys. So it's pretty cool for them to see it. This was a local guy that I helped, again, had a hand in, not to toot my own horn, but it was nice to be with him and see him from day one.
Sure.
Now he's part of the really big picture. And he was nice enough to come by a couple of days. So it's kind of cool like that. So
wow.
It's flattering. You know, it's very, very flattering.
Absolutely. Have to take one more quick break.
Sure.
And then we'll wrap things up on this edition of Kale and Company with John Vitale, fabulous Johnny Vegas, and Bud Browning, who recently opened Next Gen Pro Wrestling Center in Manchester, the only wrestling school in the state of New Hampshire. And we'll continue with them right after these words at 1450 AM WKXL, 103.9 FM, 101.9 in the Manchester area, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers. And Weed Family Automotive, located at 124 Store Street in Concord. Welcome back. Heading down the home stretch of this edition of Kale & Company. Great show with John Vitale, fabulous Johnny Vegas, and gardener Bud Browning recently opened up New Hampshire's only professional wrestling school, the Next Gen Pro Wrestling Center in Manchester on Elm Street. And, gentlemen, it's been a lot of fun. I'm glad to hear that either of you have sustained any serious injuries. But it must be gratifying, though, to have been associated and tutored some of the guys that you are now seeing develop and make this a profession.
It's very, very flattering, and it's nice to know that you helped in some way, whether they took a piece of what you're telling them or all of it or whatever. And it's nice. And now we got, another group coming through, different groups all the time coming through, and you never know. You never know what somebody else is looking for, or if they've got the potential to be bigger than anything else, or if they just want to perform locally, which is great, because we have a lot of great local independent wrestling going on, and I urge people to support that, because there's no big billion-dollar corporation supporting them. It's all local money here.
And
so.
Doing it, in many cases, doing shows for charity events and that sort of thing, which is great.
They do a lot of the toy drives for Christmas time a lot of times like that or whatever, anything. They're open to do whatever. So it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. So how can people get more information or schedules on some of the local circuits?
Some of the local circuits? Some of the local wrestling shows?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. For Next Gen Pro Wrestling Center, like I said earlier, we are tied in with Atlantic Pro Wrestling.
Right.
So you can find us all on social media there. You can type in APW Atlantic Pro Wrestling on Facebook. They've got a very active page there. And their website, they're developing a new website. It's supposed to launch in the new year.
Right.
They do shows once a month, and they're right in Newburyport, Massachusetts.
Yeah, not too far
away. Really good to do. And then we got some other affiliations with different area groups. But, basically it's the internet that help people find stuff. schedules.
When's your next match, bud?
I think January 22nd, Atlantic Pro Wrestling.
Very good. In Newburyport? Terrific. John and Bud, thanks so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
We appreciate you. Thank you very much for the time.
My pleasure. That'll do it for this edition of Kale & Company. Thanks for listening. We're presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire farmers, dairy farmers, and Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord.